Uh-oh, Breezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T Crew.
Whoa.
S-R-T, they got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame, if you ain't tuned to S-R-T today. H-O got that payload when he say so, what you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy, break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll type forever, real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with S-R-T, behind the glass, that G-Money. Made with a strong, I never lose, six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable live from the SRT Studios overlooking Atlanta Station. And you are about to witness hottest sports show on radio, SRT Crew, Sports Roundtable, each and every Wednesday, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I am your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. And, of course, I got my main man, sports superhero Hancock in the building.
What up?
And my other main man, D-Will, the coach.
What's happening?
I know you got a lot to say this for this weekend.
We already know.
And, of course, my main man behind the glass, G Money,
yo,
dropping them beats, doing it up. Got a lot to talk about this week as we're about to enter into championship weekend in the college football. And the NFL is getting kind of, folks are making moves and positioning themselves, things of that nature. We got some discrepancies going on in New York we'll talk about. Also, somebody's making a comeback this week. And it's not in the three major sports. We'll talk about that as well, as we got some hot news cranking up here pretty soon. We also got the Falcon Report. DW will be calling in around 7:30, so y'all make sure y'all tune in to check out the Falcon Report to get the latest updates on the Falcons. And we got our SRT Power 10 coming up around 7:20. Ballers and Busters around 7:45. And that will end the first half of the show. Second half of the show, we got our main man, Slick Money, Rain Man, calling in, giving us his picks. He only lost one game last week, huh?
He did his thing, didn't he?
Yeah. Two games, sorry. But, yeah, he did his thing. So, look for Slick Money to do his thing. And we definitely go talk about in our roundtable discussion. We will be talking about the championship week. The games is coming up and some interesting games, things of that nature. So, I can't wait till our Ballers and Busters, man. I got some folks that's... Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving holiday and things of that nature. So, fellas, before we get started, how was the holidays? And was it too short?
It's always too short. Know that, but it was a good holiday, man. A lot of sports, a lot of good food, laughing and talking, hung out with my youngin'.
There you go.
Let's see. A few things. Oh, yeah. And before we move on, I want to send out a very special happy birthday shout out to my little sister, Stephanie Patrice. Happy birthday,
happy
baby.
Birthday. Happy
SRT birthday. SRT sending you that love.
You already know.
Same thing for me, man. My pops turned 70 years old on yesterday.
Look out now.
Really?
Happy birthday, pops.
Yes, sir.
Happy birthday, Mr. Williams.
Yes, sir.
Happy birthday. G, how was the holiday, man? I know you went down to Augusta and did your thing, or was it a good trip?
Well, I did not go
did
to
not
Augusta.
Go Augusta. Okay.
The parents don't live there anymore, so I don't have to go to back to Augusta anymore.
Okay.
Not really.
even if Tiger make an appearance?
I don't even go to that side of town for the Masters. traffic is awful.
I'm pretty sure it will be. Washington Road. Shout out to Washington Road. Down in Augusta.
Oh, I was going to say, you talking about the one on the south side?
Not Red Oak. No, please, no. But thanks for all the Facebook folks tuning in. I see you, Dez. I see you, Andrea. Cuzzo Vada, Rodney.
Marty Terry.
Wendy is in the building checking us out. Sports Roundtable. So, like I said, we got a lot to talk about. And with that being said, G, let's go ahead and jump into some of that hot news.
Blazing. Hot. Scorching. Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Hot news sponsored by our favorite folks over at the Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, please go on over to our folks at the Big Easy Grill. 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. The best shrimp po' boy seafood in town. It is verified. And before we move into this first question, please make sure you follow us on social media at SRT Radio. And please check out the website, srtradio.com. If you want to get some off your chest, please give us a call, 404-603-8770. First question, Hancock. Tiger is set to make his return this week, actually tomorrow. The Hero Classic?
Yeah.
Your thoughts on what to expect?
It's kind of deja vu. You know, we've seen this before with the Mike Tyson comebacks, the Kobe Bryant comebacks, the
Michael Jordan comeback,
Derrick Rose. Well, maybe not Derrick Rose comeback. maybe not Derrick Rose. We can't really put him in that. But you know, Tiger, we've seen this before. We had this hope for our heroes, and those names I mentioned just didn't live up. I won't say Mike, because Mike came back and won titles.
Right.
Michael Jordan, that is MJ.
Well, he came back a couple times.
But, I mean, the one we really expected, you know, wanted him to come back after the three and then the sabbatical for whatever reasons that was, we won't get into.
Right.
But to see Mike, you know, Mike Tyson come back, we kept looking for him to really become that, be that champion that we loved and just, you know, put on this pedestal. And we've done the same thing with Tiger. To an extent, Tiger kind of burned some bridges with his non-ethnicity.
That's it.
Not knowing what he is, but you know that kind of rubbed some of us in the community the wrong way. But still, we kind of looked at Tiger as being that guy that could handle, you know, coming back and handle the pressure and get back to that point. But we haven't seen that, and so this time I'm really not excited because I think he's past his prime. Mm. I think we will never see that guy again that dominated golf.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy's kind of like, we don't know what to expect from him. We don't even know if he'll finish a round. You know, so the expectations for me are just kind of mediocre.
Will he make the cut?
I think he'll make the cut as long as his back holds up.
Okay. He's not feeling no pain.
Right, but that's not what we... What, Tiger just playing? When we see our heroes, we want them to dominate.
Right.
Why would we look for LeBron James to come out and score 12 points? You know what I'm saying? And you know what I mean? That's not the level of expectation we have for those type of guys. So whatever Tiger does now, it's a wrap. You know, it's pretty much... He's a shell of himself. Now, I would love for him to prove me wrong.
Right.
Because I think golf needs that. It would really, you know, get me enthused again about golf. I don't watch it anymore because he's not there. So I'm sure I'll tune in to see what he's doing, but not, you know, I don't expect a lot.
Do you expect the ratings to be high?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, people are going to tune in just to see if he can recapture any of that magic.
Right.
But like I said, I think the genie's out of the bottle. I think it's a wrap on whether we see, I mean, he'll never be that guy, but if he can
still win, though.
If he can turn back the clock a couple of times and win, you know, golf is a long sport, but the thing about it is he has these debilitating injuries. The back in golf,
yeah.
The knee in golf, I mean, you can go down the list. He's banged up.
You do say, like, it's going to be hard for him to win. Just history is not on his side because after the age of 35, you don't see a lot of guys. You don't see guys winning majors on both sides of 35. If you win a lot before then, you don't do much after. Right. Or you can do a whole lot after if you didn't do anything before.
Most times you're
ready. All right, Tiger, we want to see you in that red shirt.
Victory red.
Yeah, I'd love to see it now. Don't get me wrong.
There it is. Second question. D. Will, there's a lot of things going on in New York other than Jay-Z selling out concerts. Mm-hmm. And one of the hottest things that's popping is the coach who's about to get fired. Benches Eli Manning.
McAdoo.
Yeah, him. He's about to get fired. Him and the GM, they might as well pack their bags. Your thoughts on Eli being benched?
When you say that, it's one word that comes to mind. Disrespectful. For someone who has accomplished what Eli has accomplished since he was drafted, well, he wasn't drafted there, since he was traded there on draft night back in 2004, this is utterly disrespectful. I blame, now, McAdoo is horrible. We can go ahead and solidify that McAdoo is horrible. But a decision of this caliber did not come from McAdoo. Okay? Ben McAdoo did not make this decision. This had to come from higher up. So who I blame for this is the general manager, Jerry Reese, and the co-ownership in John Mara and Steve Tisch. They had to make the decision to say, okay, yes, we will go along with benching Eli Manning. Eli Manning is a two-time Super Bowl champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP. He has started a league-leading 210 consecutive games. Now, in the National Football League, that is almost impossible. With like we just talking about Tiger, he plays golf and he has debilitating ailments, like you just said. You don't think Eli Manning is banged up from week to week, especially with the offensive line he's been playing behind the last few years. Now, granted, since 2013, Eli Manning has been horrible. Okay, he has been an absolute shell of himself. But for somebody who has accomplished what he has accomplished with that franchise, he deserves the right to, for lack of better words, go out on his feet. Yeah. He deserves to walk out the way he wants to walk out. All right. So, and especially in a year where you have nothing going on, it's not like you're fighting for anything and he is the reason that you're not getting there. You should still let him do something. Now, on the flip side of that, I believe that if you were going to make this change, you don't go to Geno Smith. We have seen what Geno Smith can do in the NFL. Geno Smith has started over 30 games in the NFL and he has been utterly terrible. He is not an NFL quarterback. I don't care what nobody says. Geno Smith is a – if you want to give him a clipboard carrier for the rest of his career, fine. But I don't even think he's a good – he's not an X's and O's guy. He's not a guy who you give the clipboard to and he's going to make differences and can come up with changes and give suggestions off the sideline. That's not who Geno Smith is. So my thing is, if you're going to make this type of change, go to Davis Webb.
Yeah.
Go to the young guy. Give him a shot. See what you have in him. And if you're – we all know you can't go back to Eli Manning next year. So you know these ties have been severed. So if those ties are severed, you go to the young guy. You see what you have. You're going to be a top three pick in the draft. I'm not sold on Sam Darnold. I'm not sold on Josh Rosen. So – but those are the two hot quarterbacks coming out this year. So you at least put Davis Webb in the game. You see what you have. You're going to be a top three pick. You go and say, okay, Davis Webb is not going to do it. We know Geno Smith is not the answer. We can't bring Eli Manning back. So now let's start scouting either Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold. But they're not even doing that. So the whole Giants organization from the top down is a complete dumpster fire. So it is utterly disrespectful for what they are doing to someone who has accomplished what Eli Manning has accomplished in his 13, 14 years.
Devil's advocate. What if they're doing this to make sure that they get one of those two picks? Because maybe Eli strikes fire or whatever and they win a game they should.
Well, they came out today and Ben McAdoo said, we're not tanking. Hey, thank you. So, but well, my thing is, they're 2-9.
Coach,
right. Okay, they're 2-9.
Right.
They're not winning many more games. Now, granted, their schedule does line up for where they can get one or two.
That's
wins.
That's what I'm saying. So, and the other thing is, like, right now, I think they, whether you want to call it hole or tiebreaker, or they get the nod between them and San Francisco.
Because
San Francisco beat them head to head.
Right.
So, if they mess up and win some games, they mess up the draft position.
Well, we don't know what San Francisco has because Shanahan came out this week and said that he's going to start Jimmy Garoppolo. So if Jimmy Garoppolo is his answer, because he went out and traded for him midseason, which doesn't happen much in the NFL.
Right.
So maybe San Francisco's trying to win some games and see what they have in Garoppolo.
I think Garoppolo is their quarterback, but I'm worried when I'm talking about the draft positioning. You know, if they get that position, they could trade up and make more moves like they did coming into this year.
Exactly. Well, my
so
thing is,
still, their quarterback might be there.
Still might be that. But my thing is, you allow Eli Manning to go out on his own terms.
I feel.
I agree. All right. Well, I dropped him in fantasy league myself. So, question number 3G: the Cavs 9 in a row. Have they found their groove?
I looked at this little dying game winning streak.
He's always the death of the whatever's going
on. I'm going to.
He killed Kansas City. Now he better kill Cleveland.
Yeah.
He better kill Cleveland. He killed Kansas City. Go ahead, kill him. Go ahead.
I looked at this little streak here. Only two of the teams that they beat would be in the playoffs if it started today. Only two. One is the Pistons, who are actually the number two seed right now. And the 76ers. They beat the Hornets twice. I can't give much to this streak. They're beating the teams they're supposed to beat. They're beating the mediocre teams. And they're kind of barely beating the mediocre teams. So this doesn't really give me much. It's LeBron doing it by himself again. It's you know, it's 2006, 2007 all over again. They still don't play defense all that well. Mm-hmm. They don't have a point guard unless you want it to be LeBron and have him do everything. But I can't give this much because they're just beating a bunch of mediocre teams.
And they will be in town tomorrow night to go
beat another mediocre team?
Well, actually,
they're not even the worst offense. They're the worst mediocre
team. Yeah. The Hawks already beat them one time this year, though.
But see, that's what the problem was. They were losing to very poor talent teams.
So it's a step up.
Yeah. But what was happening was anytime they had a challenge, like, you know, okay, Giannis is challenging LeBron, they come out and beat them. Mm-hmm. Then yesterday it was day before yesterday, Philadelphia's on the uptick. Well, LeBron puts a stop to that.
Right.
So that's why I'm giving it a little bit more credence, because it seems like when they want to turn it up against certain teams, they do.
Yeah, trying to find that motivation.
Right. Yeah. Well, like when they beat Washington, Washington came in talking like they would. You remember when John Wall and
Bradley Beal
talking, and then they got slapped.
Yeah,
so, I don't bother.
That's the thing. When I'm watching the Cavs right now, I'm seeing an extra gear. And that's what's giving me pause to say, okay.
Well, because you got to understand, they've been to the finals 3 straight years.
Yeah.
So the regular season doesn't mean much. And you got to understand, they didn't win the East last year. They know they can beat Boston in a 7-game series, whether they got home court advantage or not. So that is kind of them just coasting through
the only thing season. Is, like Marty saying, that they're going to have to work Isaiah into the rotation. How does that affect it?
That won't be
too hard.
Because
somebody's going to have to sit out this and get into the second unit. Second unit is grooving right now.
With Derrick Rose on his sabbatical right now.
Well, he's not coming back.
I'm going to get to that in a couple questions.
Exactly.
But with his sabbatical right now, I think it'll be a lot easier to work in Isaiah Thomas because you don't have to split those minutes because they don't have a true point guard right now.
But you got to remember defensive rotations now, too, because he's going to be a liability.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
So that's what I'm saying. You get another poor defensive player coming in, and all he really does is score. So which when he's scoring, what is LeBron doing?
Playing defense.
I guess.
Yeah, it is. That's
playing
the answer.
Defense question mark.
Yeah. He's just behaving.
It's going to be an adjustment.
Look at that streak. Come on. How much can you actually give it?
Well, we know that they may not have much motivation coming into Atlanta tomorrow, so we'll see. All right, question number 4.
Magic City.
Exactly. Real quick hand. Tennessee hired, then pulled out of the Greg Schiano deal due to fans and politicians' dismay. Your thoughts on that real quick?
Look, they found something to not have him. They didn't want him. It wasn't about Joe Paterno and all the things at Penn State. He did not fit what they want at Tennessee.
Right.
That was the biggest thing. And they had the perfect storm with all the social media. That's why the powers that be want to limit this internet.
Right.
Because it gives the people a voice. I'm serious. Yeah. They went to Twitter and went off and basically said, we don't want him. And that's what it was about.
So Twitter fired him.
They Twitter fired him. Yep. The social media fired him. I mean, it is what it is. So I don't, you know.
You got fired Shiano, before you got hired.
Yeah, Shiano was not a good fit for Tennessee anyway.
He's Bush Jones 2.0.
Right. So it wasn't, to me, it wasn't going to work. They need somebody with some Southern roots.
There you go.
We won't say that. Yeah.
Can they even find anyone who wants the job? Because I've heard like 5 different names of who they have interviewed.
Brom turned them down today.
But let me tell you.
Brom turned down. Gundy turned them down.
Everybody has a price.
Everybody.
So once they hit the right dollar sign, somebody will be there.
Somebody
might not be who you want.
They say even Jason Witten turned them down.
Yeah, Cutcliffe turned them down.
Just everybody. Yeah, 63-year-old Cutcliffe.
Somebody shouldn't have taken that job.
Yeah, no, he wasn't.
He straight away is. All right, D. Will. Last question. You talked about Derrick Rose. He's away from the team wearing his NBA future. Mm. I don't know what he's weighing because he got some money on the table, so I'm not sure what's going on. So
talk to me, D.
I'm gonna let D. Will, the coach, talk about
one of my favorite players.
Yeah,
and I'm just gonna be honest with you. The bottom line is, I feel bad because the thing is, I don't think it's much to do with on the court. I think Derrick Rose's issues are off the court. What people are forgetting, he went through a hellified battle in the end of last year and in the offseason this year, where he was on trial for sexual assault, where he was facing jail time. He came out on top in that situation, but I believe that took a toll on Derrick Rose.
Can I pause you right there?
Yeah.
Mr. One of your other favorite players was on trial for rape.
Yeah.
And played through it like... But because he's mentally tough.
Exactly.
Ooh.
Now, Kobe Bryant.
Exactly. So what you
was flying back and forth to Denver.
With that being said, Derrick Rose, with his recent injuries and what he's been through since he won the MVP back in 2012, we have realized that Derrick Rose is not mentally tough.
Right.
We saw coming in, he went 2 years with the Bulls where he was ready to play. But he was making statements, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't think I can. So we already know mentally he is not there. Now going to a team like Cleveland, where you're on the team with a LeBron James, who at one point you were being compared to as who is the best player in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So for him to come fall from grace and to end up on a team with the person that he was being compared to, and that person still being at the top of their game, I believe also broke him down mentally. It took him to a point where, okay, I'm going through all this off the court. I can't do what I always have done. And then I got to sit here and look at the person and play fifth or sixth fiddle to the person I was once compared to. I believe that's taking a toll on him and it's breaking him down mentally. So I feel sorry for Derrick Rose, but he averaged 18 points and 6 assists last year in New York. So I don't believe it's on the court what the issue is. I believe it's all off the court and mental.
Maybe they need to run a triangle for him in Cleveland.
Maybe. Hey, he don't need to run nothing with Derrick Rose because that's what he was in trouble for.
Exactly.
Choo-choo!
First, I'm going to do the Michael Vick. Maybe he didn't need to get a haircut.
Oh. Ever since Dwayne cut his hair and stopped trying to look like a young boy, he's been playing.
He's been playing much better.
I guess finally just wake up, man. Comb your hair.
Comb your hair, see, exactly.
So you young dudes, they can do it. But come on, man.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for the hot news. Now it's time to jump into our SRT Power 10.
All college football polls matter? Not at the Sports Roundtable. It's time for the SRT Power 10.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the SRT Power 10. This week at number 10, we have the UCF. What are they? Knights.
Golden Knights. That's them.
At number 9, we had the TCU Horned Frogs. At number 8, we had the Miami Hurricane after their tumble back from number 1 facing Pittsburgh. Number 7, we have the Ohio State Buckeyes. At number 6, we have the UGA Bulldogs, Georgia, that is. And number 5, for the first time in the history of our poll, Alabama fell from the number one spot all the way down to number five in our poll.
That's big.
Deservedly so.
The top four now consists of Clemson with 37 points, Wisconsin with 41 points, Auburn with two big wins over number ones in the last 3 weeks, 42 points, and our number one team this week is the Oklahoma Sooners, and they had a grand total of 48 points. Notes from this week's Power 10. Auburn moved up from number six to number two in our, one of our biggest moves. Let's see. New entry into the poll for the TCU Horned Frogs. The biggest drops were Miami from three to eight was the biggest drop. And let's see, new to the Big Four, as we already mentioned, were Clemson and Auburn. This week's games in our Big Four will consist of TCU meeting Oklahoma in Jerry World for the Big 12 title.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn will face UGA at the Benz. Ohio State faces Wisconsin, or will play Wisconsin at Lucas Oil in Indiana. And in Charlotte, they will host the ACC title game, Clemson versus the Miami Hurricane. And just for ish and giggles, the Memphis Tigers, baby, will take on the UCF Knights.
That's a big game.
That's right. They'll be down at the Big Mouse House in Orlando. So we'll see what happens with those Tigers, and they can put up some points, baby.
Before we move on, Sabrina, we will talk about that in our roundtable discussion. She was asking, what would it take for basically Bama to get in if one of the teams lose? So we will talk about that in our roundtable discussion, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, those were all the big games that we'll look at this week. Just to touch on a little bit, what do you think about Auburn and Georgia round two, D-Will?
Well, I'm going to tell you like this. I have – Vegas has it as a two-point – under 2 points for Auburn, right? Mm-hmm. Auburn's favored by two. So that's basically a pick 'em game.
Right.
And the thing is, Auburn hadn't won a game of any significance outside of Jordan Hare. So what are we going to get from Auburn? I really believe Georgia has the upper hand, because I don't know how Auburn's going to play away from Jordan Hare.
I think, too, playing two big games back to, well, in 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
coming off a big emotional game in Iron Bowl, yep. I think this is going to kind of be tough for Auburn to get it up again. Yeah. That's what I think. What about the ACC game? You think Miami bounces back to play Syracuse, Big Dog? I mean, not Syracuse, to play Clemson.
Well, Syracuse did beat Clemson.
Yeah, Clemson won't Syracuse again. I think Clemson is starting to get their mojo back. Not sure if we've seen Miami get up from a loss this season, because this is their first time losing. So we don't know how their recovery is at this particular point. I look for a tough game, a very hype game. Neutral field, I think Clemson got all the weapons. It'll be difficult to kind of tell who has the advantage, but if I had to pick something, I think Clemson's front line is definitely the difference, in my opinion. Mm. If Kelly Bryant continues to, you know, strive, and we talked about Malik Rozier,
right.
The defense has carried him
right.
in a lot of games,
right.
and I think Clemson will force Malik Rozier to try to beat them, and I don't know if he can live up to that expectation.
Right.
And the reason I agree with you, and I believe that benching in that late drive in the Pittsburgh game that Mark Richt did, that asinine move he made, I believe that could have hurt Malik Rozier's confidence somewhat.
Yeah.
Kind of tough.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that wraps it up. Big G, I do want to ask you something about the Big 12 game. The Big 10 game.
Go ahead. We got enough time.
Okay. On that Big 10 game, if Wisconsin gets beat by by Ohio State, does that open the door for Alabama?
Yeah, I know we'll get to that in the second hour. Yeah. I think for Alabama to get in, they need Georgia to win, and they need Wisconsin. They need one of the other three to lose, too. So they need two of those top four to lose.
Yeah.
To Alabama.
Okay, well, that wraps up the Power 10 this week. They'll have the Final Four on Sunday, and I guess we'll come back in and talk about it on next week.
Yeah, it is. You already know. All right, thanks, Hancock, for the Power 10. We got to take a break because coming back, we got our Falcon Report with our favorite guy, DW from the Falcoholic. You listen to Sports Roundtable, srtradio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Basketball season is already underway, and even though you're playing, you want to take your game to the next level. That's where the Bow Bell Basketball Academy comes in. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bow Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies to help any player maximize their potential. Visit CoachBowBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bow Bell Basketball Academy. Maximize your true potential. Sports Roundtable.
106 million for Otto Porter. Are you out of your mind? Those are franchises that will never win. I don't care. You're not trying to win. Cannot be serious. 106 million for Otto Porter?
Man, well, who's crazier, though? The Nets or the Kings for offering him that? Or the Wizards that are going to match it?
The Wizards!
The Wizards.
On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
What do Falcons do? Falcons rise up!
Please welcome everyone's favorite Falcoholic, David D.W. Walker.
Sports Roundtable back at you. It is now time for the Falcons Report, and it is sponsored by The Falcoholic. Go to thefalcoholics.com to catch up on the latest news on the Falcons and on the phone. We have our friend, our guy who does it the best over there at The Falcoholic. In my opinion, you can follow him on Twitter, Falcoholic DW, and he is the co-host of one of the best podcasts out, Falcoholic Podcast. It is DW on the phone. Happy holidays. I hope you enjoyed it. How you doing, DW?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you guys?
Yeah,
good. What's up?
You sound great again this week, and I'm happy for that.
I'm doing good.
All right, let's get straight to it. Let's get your assessment on the game from this past weekend with the Falcons.
Honestly, I wish we could play the Bucks every week. and if there's anything that can help an ailing offense, it is going up against a Mike Smith defense. So we've all seen that firsthand. Honestly, I thought the Falcons did what they needed to do. We did see them let the Bucks begin to creep back in, but that was obviously after we lost both Desmond Trufant and Brian Poole in our secondary.
Right.
But the team clamped down when it needed to. They made a big third down stop, big fourth down stop on the same drive that basically, helped put the game away. I thought it was a great performance from the offense, in particular, Matt and Julio. And I don't know what more you can ask for. It was a dominating performance against a bad team.
There you go. All right, speaking of True and Poole and Freeman, can you give us an update on who's in and who's out for this week? Because I had a lot of people tweeting me and texting me. Well, the Falcons hit the waiver wire for a cornerback and things of that nature. Let's go ahead and clear that up with this question.
All right. Well, the good news is Devontae Freeman is out of the concussion protocol, so he should be playing on Sunday. He will be back against the Vikings, so that would be nice to see him back on the field. Desmond Trufant is still in the concussion protocol. We don't know anything officially, but if I were going to make a guess, I would go ahead and say that he will probably not play on Sunday. Brian Poole is day-to-day with his back injury, and based on the fact that the Falcons did not make any roster moves yesterday, their Tuesday is usually the day where they make any roster moves. They didn't make any moves yesterday. That, to me, indicates that Brian Poole will probably play on Sunday, or they expect him to, between him and Trufant.
Okay, good deal. So a concerning question for me and a lot of people in the Twitter world, and let's see if you can shed a little light on this. Why do the Falcons defense have such a hard time playing with a lead?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. I feel like we talk about this every week. You know, if we look at the Bucs game, I think, you know, a big part of it was obviously losing two of your three best corners. And, you know, there was one point where Alfred even got injured, went out for a play, thankfully was able to finish. I think a big part of it is when they get ahead, they try to play a little bit more zone, keep the ball in front of them, prevent, you know, big plays from happening. And unfortunately, I don't know why this team struggles to play in the cover three or play in those zone coverages, but it just seems like when we do that, we tend to give up those scores in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. So I definitely get it. It's frustrating. I'm sure it's frustrating to Dan Quinn as well. I don't have a lot of great answers. If I did, I'd probably be on the sidelines with Coach Quinn right now.
There you go. And I hope Dan Quinn and Arthur Blank is listening, because we're on the roll right now. Speaking of Free, we say Free is back. Tevin Coleman had a pretty decent game against the Bucs. The Falcons drafted Brian Hill this past year. He's now gone. With Free being having three concussions in less than 18 months, Coleman coming up on possibly a free agent year next year, do you think the Falcons would draft another running back, let's say like a Rashad Penny from San Diego State? Do you think they make that kind of move in the draft?
I think it's definitely a possibility. I think everything you just mentioned is going to weigh on their minds. You know, they've definitely committed to Devontae Freeman for at least the next 2-3 years based on his contract, so he's not going anywhere. I don't think they're going to have the ability to keep Tevin Coleman around. He'll get paid somewhere else. So, yes, I definitely think that's the case. Honestly, I thought with Brian Hill that they would do more to try to keep him around. I was a little surprised when they cut him, and obviously he got picked up by the Bengals, I believe. So it's at this point, yeah, I would think there's a very strong likelihood that they'll pick up another running back on day two or day three of the draft.
Okay. Yeah, we're talking live to D-Dub of the Falcoholic here on the SRT Radio. D-Dub, this sports superhero, got a question, kind of piggybacking a little bit off of that defense. With Free coming back, Coleman running the way he's doing right now, and even with the third back of Ward, do they protect the defense a little bit more later on in the year by maybe running the ball a little bit more, you know, maybe trying to limit the offensive possessions for the other team where you might get a field goal every now and then instead of a touchdown, you know, on the big plays or something?
Oh, absolutely. And I believe that is something that Dan Quinn really wanted this year from Steve Sarkisian, was to see the team a little bit more committed to running the ball in the second half of the, you know, football games. I think we've seen it in the past couple of weeks. We saw it in the second half, you know, against the Bucs. They, even when they were trying to put the game away, they were having a lot of success running, and they were committed to the run. So I do think we're going to see that get emphasized more and more, especially with how earlier February went. Take a shot if you need to at this point. But I do think the running game is one of the best ways to protect your defense, and luckily we've got two good running backs to help us do that.
Right. Now, facing this duo coming in with Thielen and Diggs, which are two of the, you know, one of the best tandems in the league we've seen this year, which wide receiver do you think they'll maybe cover and maybe put one DB on the other side? Do you look at Thielen more? Or to me, Diggs being the more explosive one, do you double cover him?
Oh, this is tough. And this is where losing Trufant is really painful. You know, between Trufant and Alfred, they've got the speed, they've got the agility to keep up with these guys. Honestly, I don't know how they're going to tackle this if Trufant misses out. You know, Alford is probably going to be the next guy up, and I imagine they're going to want to have him shadow Thielen, possibly put Poole or C.J. Goodwin up on Diggs. With a guy like Diggs, I think your best chance is to try to jam him at the line, get him off of his timing, to try to take his speed out of the equation. So it's a really tough matchup. Horrible week for us to be missing one of our best corners.
Right. And my last thing, is there any way to tell Keanu, you know, that show him what color jersey he has on? Because this friendly fire thing he's doing is not working, man. He's going to kill somebody.
He's a Scud missile. You just point him in the direction, and sometimes there's collateral damage. I think that's how it works.
What's up, D-Dub? This is D-Will, the coach, man. And we finally saw Julio have a breakout game, first time this season. He had his first multiple touchdown game, and we actually saw Matt go his way often. Do you think it was a concerted effort to get Julio the ball this week, or do you think it was more of a fact of a bad Bucs secondary that Julio and Matt were just able to exploit?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think they definitely wanted to get Julio more involved, but after the game, Julio basically pointed out, and he threw his former head coach under the bus in this one, but he basically pointed out that after halftime, and I know this could be shocking for everyone listening, after halftime, Mike Smith made no adjustments on the defense, and they kept going to the same coverage that Julio was eating alive in the first half, so they just kept throwing him the same pass. I think part of it was definitely the Bucs had arguably the worst game plan you could have to stop Julio. And obviously, you know, Ryan was looking for him as well.
And that's a good look. And also, we did see, and I know we spoke about the running backs earlier, and we saw Teron Ward get a good bit of carries this week with
Freeman
being out. But he had a big fumble in the red zone. Do you think that's going to hurt him and take away some carries and have them go more towards just giving and carrying the back on Tevin a little bit more and having him be more the bell cow this upcoming week?
Oh, yeah. If you look at the after the fumble and Ward ran it again, he had another really strong run, and he kept running without securing the ball. I was actually standing up screaming at my TV for him to wrap his arms around that ball, and I'm sure many of you were the same. He's got to learn to secure the ball. And that fumble was unacceptable at that point in the game, and that almost cost us the game when you look at the momentum shift that went with it. So I think Ward hurt himself, hurt his opportunities for additional carries with his sloppiness with the ball.
Hey, DW, this is G. So we got the Vikings coming up. And the Vikings are a top five overall defense, and they're very strong against the run. What do you think the Falcons could do with Coleman or with Freeman if he is indeed coming back? I guess to get them going to – so it doesn't have to be a lot of Matt Ryan to forcing it to Julio or to anybody else.
Right. That's a fantastic question. Honestly, I think one of the things – you would look to exploit in this game is some of those three tight end sets. This is a very, very good defense. They are a sideline-to-sideline defense. They've got some great players in that secondary. Anthony Barr is a fantastic linebacker in coverage. The best way to take advantage of that is to force mismatches. And when you've got that three tight end set, it looks like a run-heavy offense. They've been able to pass out of that, and I think that is something I'm hoping we see more of this week, because I think that's a good way to create some matchups in the secondary that you wouldn't get otherwise.
Okay. On the phone, we got DW of the Falcoholic. He is the co-host of the Falcoholic podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Falcoholic DW. Speaking of game planning, what would you say or what do you think would take for Sark to get Taylor Gabriel more involved in the offense moving forward?
That's a good question. Again, honestly, I'm not sure that he knows exactly what to do with him. That's one of the criticisms I still have of Sarkisian, and you guys are obviously noticing it as well. You know, he's obviously got no problem finding Julio and Sanu's getting his touches. I think the confounding thing with Gabriel is they've tried to get him the ball, you know, in those quick outs, those screens, and teams are seeing it coming, and they're blowing those screens up. So it's not working like it did last year. I'm not sure what they're going to be able to do to get Gabriel really going this year, because nothing has seemed to work the way it did in 2016.
Yeah, we see it very vividly. Your opinion, what do the Falcons need to do to beat the Vikings this week?
Honestly, they have got to play perfect ball on both sides. This is a very, very good team. This is a team that's probably going to be, you know, one of the top two seeds in the playoffs, you know, with the way things are going right now. They've got a good pass rush. Everson Griffin has 12 sacks. They've got to be able to give Ryan time in the pocket. And they've got to, you know, find a way to exploit some positive matchups. There's not a whole lot of weaknesses on this Vikings defense. And really for the Vikings offense, you know, we've got to get our pass rush going. We've got to bring Case Keenum to the ground and force them into third and long situations. So if we can do those things, we've got a shot. But this is going to be a very, very tough matchup.
All right. With that being said, let's get your predictions for this week's game.
Yeah, like I said, you know, one of the toughest matchups we're going to have for the remainder of the season. This is a legitimately great defense. Do not look for a weakness. I don't know that they have one. They've got, you know, one of the top corners in the league in Xavier Rhodes. But right now, the Falcons' offense is finally clicking. Julio looks healthy. He looks explosive. The Falcons are playing at home. They're playing with a ton of confidence. I'm going to give the Falcons just a little bit of an edge. I think this is going to be a very painfully close game. I'm going to say Falcons 24, Vikings 23. Falcons continue their winning streak.
All right, there it is. 24-23, D-Dub is picking the Falcons, and you've been hot so far, so we're going to roll with you. Before you go, please let all of our listeners know where they can find your podcast and where they can find your articles.
You can find our articles at thefalcoholic.com. You can find me on Twitter at FalcoholicDW, and you can find the Falcoholic podcast, which should land sometime tomorrow on all of your standard platforms, including iTunes and the Google Play Store.
There you go. D-Dub, we appreciate it. Thanks again, and rise up.
Rise up.
Rise up, guys. Thanks.
All right, no problem. There it is, D-W, man. He calls it 24-23, tight game. I think the blood pressure pills and CVS, Walmart. Walgreens will be out of blood pressure pills by the end of the week.
I know they're going to concentrate on Thielen and Diggs, but they better watch out of the backfield.
Yeah, Murray.
Murray. Murray is McKinney. The power back, but yeah, him.
Yeah.
He's the guy. I'm telling you.
That is. It's going to be a tough game. So let's just hope the big body Benz secures these wins for us and things of that nature. So, all right, now it's time to get into one of I can't wait. It's time to get into the SRT Ballers and Busters.
Other radio shows may have their players of the week, but at the Sports Roundtable, we have our ballers.
Ballin'.
And our busters.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
Ballers and Busters, sponsored by Real Talk Tees. We got to surf every mood. You want to cop you a tee, a Real Talk Tee, please go to realtalktee.bigcartel.com. Baller for this week for me. I got one baller in an honorable mention, and I'll mention that later. But my baller goes to Quinn Flowers, quarterback, South Florida, 24 out of 45, passing 503 yards, 4 touchdowns, ran the ball 20 times for 102 yards with 1 touchdown, and they still lost. But he balled out. So, shout out to the young man, Quentin Flowers. I hope he actually get a shot in the NFL. So he balled out for sure.
Yeah, my baller, first two letters of the alphabet, AB, Antonio Brown.
There it is.
Look, man, he went 10 receptions out of 12 targets, 169 yards, 16.9 yard average, and 2 TDs.
Mm.
Thanks, Shannon, for that. But my thing is the play that he made, bless you, the play that he made down the stretch to get them in field goal range. He actually caught two balls back to back. But the second catch was ridiculous.
Yes.
At first glance, I thought there was no way he got his feet down. Mm-mm. And he and Newt down there in Houston do that as well as anybody in the game.
That toe drag.
That toe drag is something serious. Julio had a heck of a game. Don't get me wrong. He balled out. But when I watch catches that these guys are making, it's unreal, man. There was no way I thought he got his feet down. Mm-hmm. No way.
Yep.
Jalen and I argued before the replay went back, and I just had to take it all back.
Took it all back?
I took it all back. It was ridiculous, man. There's no way he could get his feet down.
Yeah.
But he did. But AB is my baller.
All right, G.
All right, my baller of the week is Pittsburgh quarterback Kenny Pickett.
Mm. Oh, he went to college. Oh, my goodness.
I picked the college player before. Oh, okay. I think it is.
No.
This was his first career start against Miami. And I'm trying to pull up what his numbers were here in just a second. But I know he threw for 193 yards and a touchdown, and he also ran for two touchdowns in a big upset win. And these were his first three career touchdowns. And to have a true freshman come in and do that, and he didn't turn the ball over. I think that was another key part of why Pittsburgh was able to pull out that win.
No turnover chain.
Mm. All right.
On me, my baller for the week, and everybody, clutch your pearls. My baller for this week was the Auburn defensive line. The Auburn defensive line stepped up and played big this past weekend, holding Bama to 3-for-11 on third down conversions. And that's not the big deal that they were 3-for-11 on third down conversions. The big deal was they were 0-for-7 through three quarters. They didn't pick up their first third down until midway through the fourth quarter. So whatever that defensive scheme was, we all know that Auburn has a hellified defensive front four, but they stepped up this past weekend and shut Bama down on the offensive side of the ball. So for this week, I got to give it to them. Auburn's defensive line is my ball of the week.
Wow. That's big, D-Will. Yeah, I'm proud of it.
That's big.
Facts.
Yep. My honorable mention baller goes out to my guy, Marvin Bagley.
The third
of the Duke Blue Devils. Mm. First player in Duke history to go back-to-back 30-15. He had 82 points for the three games in the tournament and 45 rebounds, which means he averaged 27-15 for the tournament.
Mm-hmm. And, hey, listen, now you're missing one thing. He also had 6 assists in that game.
Yeah, he did.
And you two guys talk a lot about guys, and, you know, I kind of think a lot of be hyperbole. But, you know.
I don't lie.
I give you props on Bagley. Bagley is the truth. He's going to have to put on a little more weight to play against the big boys, I think. But his skill and his game right now are well above the players that he's playing with and playing against right now. He's the truth.
Long and athletic, man.
Yeah,
long and athletic. All right, my buster this week, I think this guy had already got one for the year, but he's going to get another one, and that's Jim Harbaugh. They lose to Ohio State by 11 points. This is his third season finishing up in Michigan. Listen to these stats. 0-3 against Ohio State. 1-2 against Michigan State. 0-4 against Ohio State and Michigan State at home. 0-6 as an underdog. 1-7 against the top 10. Anyway, in khaki.
I've been told y'all since last season I was not high on Michigan. And when everybody was trying to pump Michigan up and tell Michigan's everything, I have been telling you that they are not who we thought or who the nation wants them to be.
Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear
that? Defense is still good, but they got to get a quarterback.
So
that QB is
Harbaugh, that's my.
But I you cannot argue with stacks.
Them facts, as D Will would say, facts.
Facts.
So all right, hey, who's your buster?
My buster, the Houston Texans, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Green Bay Packers, Cincinnati, Chicago Bears, and the Denver Broncos.
Damn.
All of which have teams except for Chicago. Well, Chicago has a defense for real,
mm-hmm.
and has some players. But all of these teams, with the weakness in the conference of the NFC and really in the AFC, you have two dominant teams to me. Maybe if you want to throw Minnesota in there, they go along with Philadelphia as being two of the top teams in the NFC. And in the AFC, it's only New England.
Right.
So if you have any semblance of a quarterback to play with these teams, you can challenge and get to the playoffs. These teams have tanked their season basically because they would not go out and sign Colin Kaepernick.
Man, I need my bell. Ding!
You're going to sit here and lose, and you have bona fide defenses in every place that I said. Every place that every team I named has a borderline good to great defense if they had any offense to go with it. And they have just thrown these seasons away with this collusion, because that's what it is, to keep this man from playing in the NFL, and they threw their seasons away by not signing him.
Wow.
So they're my busters.
All right, G.
So my buster this week, maybe it's a different kind of buster. He might be more of a mark, mm-mm. and that is Michael Crabtree of the Oakland Raiders.
Mm. He the buster?
For getting his chain snatched a second time by Aqib Talib. For the second time.
And he taped it. Rumors are, allegedly, he taped his chain to his body so he wouldn't snatch his chain. Yeah. So that's just meaning, y'all know what that reminded me of?
Depot.
I'm just going to tuck mine in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to tuck mine in. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, D.
All right, my buster this week, it's from the same game. I'm going to stay with the Alabama-Auburn, with the Iron Bowl. It goes to Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll is the offensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide, who is the former offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. Brian Daboll called a bad game, in my opinion. And the reason I say that is we have one of the best running back cores in college football. Damian Harris, 6 carries, 51 yards. That is 8.5 yards a carry. Bo Scarborough, 6 carries, 46 yards with the touchdown. That's 7.7 yards per carry. Josh Jacobs, 6 carries, 25 yards. That's 4.2 yards per carry. Now, if you total that up, that is 18 carries from our entire backfield. Our quarterback, Jalen Hurts, had 18 carries himself for 82 yards, which is 4.6 yards a carry. This is my point. How does your quarterback get the same amount of carries as your entire backfield?
Ooh.
That is unequivocally the fault of the offensive coordinator.
I thought the game had changed after halftime. When they came out and ran it down their throat, I said, here we go.
They gave it to Bo Scarborough. He broke a 21-yard run.
After your boy had busted over.
A 31-yard run.
Exactly.
So he listen to the stat. 6 carries for 51 yards. That's 8.5 yards. He had 1 carry for 31 yards. So that means they were not giving him the football. Bo Scarborough had 1 carry for 21 yards, only had 46 yards. They were not giving them the football when obviously if they would have given them the football on a consistent basis, we could have controlled time of possession, we could have slowed the game down, and we also could have worn out that defensive line who I just gave my baller to.
Exactly. All right, we got a call on the line. It's our main guy. Tate, what's going on? Welcome to SRT. You got a ball in the buster?
Yeah, man, I got a ball in the buster. It's just kid y'all don't know, this Tate has from Montgomery again.
Yes, sir.
What up,
my
Tate?
My baller this week is coming from college basketball. Josh Langford, Michigan State.
There you go.
Young guy from Huntsville, Alabama, dropped a 20-piece on UNC the other night. Went 5-7 with 3 points. Matter of fact, he scored 23 points in 23 minutes.
Ooh.
There you go, Tate.
Yeah.
There you go.
So he was very, very efficient in what he was doing. And my buster, I hate to go behind D-Will and say Alabama, so I'm going to flip the script and go with Mark Richt. How do you waste a possession in the fourth quarter by changing quarterbacks when the game's still in balance? I don't understand that.
Hey, you know what we call that? We got the it's in the dictionary called Clemsoning. We just saw Mark Richt. Because that's what he did at Georgia.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Tate, that was some good ballers and buster, man. Hey, keep it up, man. Any shout outs you want to give out before you get off?
Man, hope my wife will check it out. Shout my wife out and my two boys. They ought to be in bed, but I know they're not right now.
Hey, there it is.
There it is. All right, Tate, man. Appreciate it, man. We got to move on. We got some peaks we got coming up. So continue to listen, and we really appreciate it. All right, man, that's Tate, man, from Bama, man.
Tate Harris, man. That's
Tate
my
Harris,
homeboy.
What's up?
Yeah.
Got a couple ball and buster online. Buster Memphis Grizzly, for firing Fizz.
Yep.
And baller is the Memphis Tigers and AB. That's from Eric Vincent.
I'm thinking he's from Memphis.
Yeah, this is
I'm thinking he's from Memphis.
Yeah, we got a Hurricane baller and an Auburn baller.
There you go.
And I don't know where the buster. They didn't have any buster on there. That was from Martin.
All right, man, listen. That was our Ballers and Busters segment, sponsored by Real Talk Tees. But we got to take a quick break, and when we come back, our main man, Slick Money, is on the phone.
Slick Money.
He will give you the picks of the week, and he was hot last week. You're listening to Sports Roundtable and SRTRadio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
WWE AM 1100. The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city, or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker, and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Sports Roundtable.
I'm proud of you, D-Wiz. I mean, honestly, I am so proud of my boy.
Hit the bell.
D-Wiz can pick Auburn at anything.
That means he must really hate Clemson.
It's not that I... They beat us, bro. On a pick play.
That is. I was wondering where I feel the breeze.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
Uh-oh, Breezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT crew.
Whoa.
SRT. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. HO got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. Mayweather strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It is our number two Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew. H.O. Hancock, D-Will, the coach, D-Money behind the glass, and we are here doing our thing. Just got off the Ballers and Busters segment. Now we're about to jump into some picks from our guy, and he's on the phone. He went 5-2 last week. Good job, my main man. It's the Rain Man, Slick Money. What's going on, bro?
Are you ready there for you some go. Football? Are you ready to win some fruit cups?
Those who are tardy do not get fruit cups.
Well, get ready, because it's time for the Rain Man's Picks of the Week.
All right, Slick, there we go. What's going on with you, big man?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
What up, what up?
Ain't nothing shaking, man.
What up, Slick Bunny?
Had to get that intro in real quick for you. 5-2 week. You picked the upset with the Auburn and Alabama game, and D-Will not mad. He just, you know, they still got a chance. You look good last week, man. We want to know, kind of like we want to get a replay from last week to make sure that you go out on top.
Okay, you know? Well, hey, you want to talk about last week or you want to jump in the new week?
Well,
I'm ready, brother.
You ready? All right, well, the Virginia, I'm shocked at that, the 10-10 score. I'm shocked at that. The Alabama, the Auburn pick was great. The Washington State, they just didn't show up. Everything else, I mean, you always been a good pro picker, so I'm not surprised at that. New England blew the doors off. You said the Rams would go do their thing. And why are they not talking about Derrick Mason going to Tennessee from Vanderbilt?
Is that where he's going?
They ain't talked about it. There, seven other people done turned down. So
you know why? Ain't no brothers going to Tennessee.
The students voted out. They should have went with him. What's the man from Rutgers?
Greg Schiano.
You think he works there, man?
Huh?
You think he works at Tennessee?
You think it's a good fit? Don't get with him.
But it's a good fit.
I thought it was a good fit because I think he would bring in discipline, and Tennessee just haven't had that. I think that situation that happened at Penn State, they don't have no facts on that. So I just think that you don't let the students tell you who to select as the coach.
can't argue with that.
Yep, can't argue with that. All right, Slick, let's go ahead and jump into it this week, man. Who do you got for your lock of this week?
The lock of the week, bro. I'm going into college. I'm going to Fresno State +9 over Boise State.
They going to beat them 2 weeks in a row?
They might not beat them, but I think that 9 is good. So I'm sticking with Fresno State +9.
I got you. Kind of like that, too, though.
Yeah, I do. I like that as well.
Where they playing that at, Slick? Is that the Bluefield?
I think it's wherever they play their championship game. I'm assuming if it's at the Bluefield or I don't know where it is, but it could be in a SRT backyard. Don't make no difference.
Yeah, it's at Albertson Stadium.
All right, Slick, give me your upset for this week.
Hey, man, I want to roll with Georgia +4 because I don't know the condition of Auburn's running back. Mm-hmm. If he's 100%, it would be a great game, and Auburn would edge them out. But if he's not 100%, I'm taking Georgia with the upset +4 in the Mercedes Dome.
Yeah, I like that.
That line's shifting.
Three.
Down to 3. I saw 2 earlier.
It was 3 when I saw it. So is it 4 now, Slick?
I saw 2.5.
I saw when it first came out and I made the selection, it was Georgia +4.
Yeah, it's at 2.5
two
now.
2.5 now.
Okay, it's fine. Give me George and 2.5.
I'm riding 2, Slick.
I'm riding 2. That's the upset.
I'm in the car.
There you go. All right, give me your blowout for this week.
My blowout, I'm going to the NFL. San Francisco is making a quarterback change. That ain't going to be good enough to me. I think the Bears play tough at home, and I'm taking the Bears -4 at home against San Francisco. I think the new boy going to get a good workout.
All right, the Bears -4 at home. It's not a bad pick because they got to travel to the cold, windy city of Chicago. All right, you have any bonus picks for us?
Yeah, I got 4 bonus picks, man.
Okay.
And get them up on the mattress, put a cupcake, call it what you want. We're going to rock with all 4 of these. You ready?
I'm ready.
I like Troy +1 going to Jonesboro, Arkansas to play the Arkansas State Indians. I like Troy +1.
All right, got Troy +1 versus Arkansas State. All right, what's the next one?
And the next one, I don't know if you guys are going to agree with me, but normally these two teams hook up. It's a shootout, Central Florida versus Memphis. I like the under 82. I think it's going to be a defensive game. And the last time they played, Memphis only scored 7. I think Central Florida and Memphis will be a good under pick with your under 82.
That's a good pick. All right, what's the third bonus?
And my third pick, I'm going with the down to the Big Easy, down in New Orleans. I like Carolina Panthers +4. I think New Orleans got exposed a little bit last week, and I truly believe that Carolina's going to come in and play them. So I like Carolina +4.
Okay.
And my last pick, Cleveland is so bad, y'all. Seriously.
Yeah, they are.
I think San Diego Chargers are actually going to win that division.
Me too, Slim.
I think the Chargers -15 is just that's easy like cupcakes. I'm taking the Chargers -15. Cleveland is bad, and I just like the Chargers. They playing so just great football.
And yeah, because Phillip Rivers lit it up last week for 400 yards and like 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, all right.
They say he's still throwing the ball now. He ain't stopped.
All right, Slim. Let me go over the picks. Your lock. You got Fresno State +9. Then for your upset, you got Georgia +2.5 in the Big Body Bins. Yeah. Then you got the Bears in your blowout pick -4 against San Francisco. They got to travel to cold weather, and they got a new quarterback. Then for your bonuses, you got Troy +1 over Arkansas State. The Memphis UCF under 82. So still a lot of points. Golly. And you're taking Carolina +4 against the Saints. And they playing that in the Big Easy. Wonder if they sell shrimp there too.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, I'm positive.
Yeah. And your last bonus is ride with the San Diego Chargers.
The LA Chargers.
There you go. The LA Chargers who play at a recreation field. -15 versus the Cleveland University.
Cleveland
High School.
All right, Snake, hey, I hope you enjoyed your holidays. Well, how were your holidays, speaking of that?
Oh, my holidays was great, man. I had a great time with George family. But I do want to mention this as the last little nugget going into this segment and ending it.
Mm-hmm.
For the college playoff Final Four, I thought they got it right. I truly believe the top four teams, all four teams, will win this week. Alabama will get left out of the top four.
That's your hope and prayer.
Mm.
Yeah, and I truly believe Ohio State will not beat Wisconsin, so Wisconsin gets in, and I truly believe all of the teams. Oklahoma wins. I think Wisconsin wins. I think Georgia beats Auburn, knocks him out. Georgia jumps over Alabama, and Clemson beat Miami.
Okay. Slick said it. He said it. All right, Slick, man, we appreciate it. Anything else you want to say before you get back off into your retirement for the night?
Hey, man, I just love you guys. You guys are doing a great job. Appreciate everything y'all do, man, and hopefully this thing will blow up and do well. So congrats to all of y'all, and go Tennessee Vols.
All right, man, we appreciate it, baby.
Slick, no, I truly believe D. Will and Hancock can coach the Tennessee Vols right now.
Hey, I'm with that.
I can be whoever coaches now.
Exactly. Hey, listen, we'll split the check.
There it is. My man, appreciate it, Slick. Thanks again.
Okay, dog. Love you guys. Bye.
All right, Slick.
All right, man, there it is. Slick giving his picks and breaking news. Porzingis leaves the Knicks game with an apparent serious ankle injury.
What's the score?
Actually, New York is up 37-26.
Wow.
So, and UNC is up on Michigan by 10.
Yeah, Michigan must be mighty bad.
Yeah, Lee.
Man, USC is bad.
They had a bad game.
No, they bad.
I've watched them earlier this season.
The only way them folks getting to McDonald's is somebody take.
I watched them earlier this season. They didn't shoot that bad, man. They shot bad against Michigan State.
God.
But Michigan State will make you do that too. They play good defense.
At least they're not Arizona.
Oh yeah,
who went from 2 to out of the top 25 in a week.
In a week.
Oh, we got a late baller.
Okay.
Eric Vincent said, Josh Gordon for being the connect, 10 grand a week.
10 bands a week? What is wrong with this fool for even coming out saying that? You've been suspended for the league for 2 years for smoking weed, and now you're going to come out and say you was getting 6 pounds a week?
Hey.
Baller.
Hey. Baller.
Hey, shout out to Cynthia Bagwell, a lawyer listener. She's on Facebook Live. How you doing? She say, what's up to the crew?
What up?
She heard Slick Money on him. She had to get on, baby.
Slick got him, boy.
You know it.
Let me get it for the girls. Get it.
Picks.
Oh, yeah. All right, so we're going to get into our picks. And I'm go piggyback off Slick, man. I'm going with Georgia.
Hey, I'm going too, so you ain't got to ask me. Three-way.
Hey, Georgia, I'm going with Georgia. Half. 2.5.
What pro game?
What pro game you got, G?
Y'all really doing that for me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to pick a pro game. I'm picking the Seattle Seahawks +6 against the Eagles.
Somebody got to stay close. Eagles blowing people out.
I mean, blowing them
They doing
out.
The hustle and the shuffle and
just let you slide.
Let you slide.
Say, Seattle +6.
Seattle +6.
Where they playing the game at?
It's in Seattle.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
Ooh. I might have to give me some.
I might have to get a little taste.
Give me some of that.
Taste.
Wow. So we did a UGA 3-way.
Yeah.
I just do not trust Auburn away from Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Yeah, because I'm with you, dude.
They're two significant games.
That's what I'm
away doing. From Jordan-Hare was LSU and Clemson, and they lost both.
And just trying to get back up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's going to be too much.
Yeah.
I do.
It is. All right, man. Let's go ahead and talk. Now it's time for the SRT Roundtable Discussion.
The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Sports Roundtable Discussion. Sponsored by Bo Bell Basketball.
Bo Bell.
If you got any youngins, kids that is, age 6 and up, please go to BoBellBasketball.com. And get your training in. He has a very unique training style. He teaches feet. Move your feet. And then you can eat.
Yeah.
So Bo Bell Basketball is sponsoring this segment. So please go to BoBellBasketball.com. Where all your basketball training and needs are met. All right, fellas. Coaching carousel. We done talked about Tennessee. Pretty often throughout the show. My question is, why don't they go to Memphis and get the Tennessee guy, Norvell, from Memphis?
I don't know if they feel he's ready for that bigger step yet. I mean, let him prove it again, doing a little bit more in Memphis. I think that's what the deal is.
Okay.
You know, and Tennessee is trying to make a splash. You know, sometimes we look at things a little bit more grand than what they really are, like our programs. Like Tennessee looks at themselves as a national program, and they really haven't had a national footprint in a while.
Since Peyton Manning.
Right. So I think they're kind of shooting, you know, a little bit out of their range. So they might need to go with a Norvell or somebody like that, but I don't think that's the type of splash they're looking for.
I agree with you, Tennessee thinks they are more than who they think of what they really are.
Right.
They think they're more in the mold of an Alabama, Ohio State, how we say in basketball, they think they're a blue blood program when they're actually not that.
No.
They only have, one national championship in the last 30 years. So, and that was with T. Martin. So, come on.
And he's at USC.
Yeah. Why not T. Martin?
Because he's a brother. That's just real. We got to keep it real.
We talked about it. Listen, I'm going to just say this. Let me just say this for the folks. The Nation say what up to the crew. So, what's happening?
What up, the Nation?
And let me just say this. If you go back and listen to the archive show, srtradio.com, just click on podcast. We have called a lot of these things out before it even happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have been a cut above all of these things. And to talk about that, I'm hearing rumors that Willie Taggart is going to get an extension from Oregon because Florida State reached out to him. Mm. That's alleged rumor.
Because they're going to lose Jimbo.
And that's the crazy part about it. He hadn't even won it. And here, I got a question. How does Florida State have a
game this weekend against Louisiana Monroe. So say Florida State didn't fall off the way they were supposed to. Were they going to play this game?
No.
Exactly.
They got to get eligible.
And that, I don't know, how do you do, where they do that at? you have an off season and you add a game just so you can become
eligible. No, that's when they got canceled.
I understand that. But that is literally adding a game.
You know what they're doing? They're trying to get bowl eligible.
That's ridiculous, man. That is ridiculous.
But I think this is probably Jimbo Swanson. Texas A&M, from what I understand, they got a blank check.
Yep.
And they're saying you fill in the numbers.
But Florida State hadn't upgraded their facilities. He asked for $60 million in facility upgrades that he hadn't got. Right. And truth be told, Texas A&M has probably the best
in the nation.
Facilities in the nation.
No doubt about it.
So,
no doubt about it.
But he going to the SEC West.
Now, let's talk about that. Texas A&M fires Sumlin.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they switch places.
I was going to say, where does he land?
I don't know. Maybe he takes a year off. I don't know. But I mean, maybe he could land at a university. I don't think Florida State would do that just because Jimbo is going to Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's still got a good reputation as a good coach and a quality recruiter, from what I understand. So I don't know exactly where he might go.
I've heard a lot of Arizona State with him.
Well, no, that's
Whatchacallit took that job.
Yeah, that job got filled today, didn't it?
Yeah, it got filled today by
we'll look it up.
Yeah.
Porzingis got a sprain, be available for return.
Good.
But check.
Appreciate that, Dez, for giving them updates.
They didn't feel it. I'm sorry. Herb was – they interviewed Herb.
Yeah, Herb.
Oh, Herb Man was
– he's Herb.
Yeah. He's taking that job.
Don't press in.
Herb Man was taking – he's taking that job.
You think
he's
going to take it?
Yeah, he's going to – he said it today on – he was on SportsCenter today.
Okay. He said he was going to interview.
Quick.
So that means he's going to take it.
Quick aside. Is he ready for the spread offenses? He's still old school football. Yeah,
he hadn't coached college football since 1989,
he's
30 years.
He's old school football. He's pro. And I don't know if that's going to work at this level. And then what do kids – kids are social media conscious. They like having fun.
Well, you know, he's up on it. You know, he's the one who came out with the mantra, don't push sin.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. He's going to take the Twitter away.
Yeah.
He's going to tell them no, not this and whatever. And I don't know if that's going to work for these kids.
We're going to find out.
He can hide in the Pac-12.
Exactly. It's no expectations there, he's able to get back in the coaching.
Get some kids,
but go, back
we got
to
some breaking news. Herm Edwards is taking that Arizona State job.
Yep.
Did I just not say we are cut above the curve?
Yeah, exactly.
Did I just say that?
Yeah.
It is pending approval by the university president.
Oh, it's, wow. Yeah.
Well,
that's
good to go. Well, but they're going military because he's straight by the book.
I will tell y'all this. Arizona State is one of the top party schools in the United States.
Well, his football player is not going
to
party.
Exactly. But back to the Kevin Sumlin thing. Kevin Sumlin, he got a bad rap. And the reason he got a bad rap, and I agree with you, he's a tremendous recruiter. And you really can't fault him for this, but he signed 3 5-star quarterbacks within a two-year span. And all three of them end up leaving because, of course, kids nowadays don't like competition. Right? So the thing about it is he gets a bad rap for that because what are you supposed to do in his position? Do you say no? I'm not taking a 5-star quarterback.
Right.
You don't turn them down. And then also the Johnny Manziel thing, right? They were so hot during the Johnny Manziel era. Texas A&M started thinking, like we said earlier, that they were Alabama, LSU. They thought they were supposed to compete every single year, year in and year out, for a national championship. They thought they were supposed to have the most exciting program. Mm-hmm. And when they have a down year like they did 2 years ago, and they weren't bad this year until
the end of the year.
When he knew he was a lame duck coach. So he gets a bad rap, and like I say, he's going to end up somewhere, but I think he needs to end up at a school with some prestige.
He doesn't go to somewhere like a Nebraska or something like that.
Well, Nebraska got filled already by
Frosco? He didn't go?
No, he didn't go yet.
I wanted to say that with Texas A&M, I think it all started to kind of fall off once Cliff Kingsbury left, because he's the one, he kind of made Johnny Manziel what he was.
Right.
But do you think that Kingsbury may leave Texas Tech to take the Texas A&M job?
No.
Do you think that's a possibility?
They just assured him that he was sticking around. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, All the eggs in the Jimbo basket right now for Texas A&M. Oh, all their eggs.
It's Jimbo or nothing.
That's what they're looking for.
Are you mad if he leaves?
Not really, because he came there and brought the program back to a level of respectability. Mm-hmm. After Bobby, he kind of
dwindled down a little bit.
And he brought them back to a height to where they were recognized, got a title there, national mm-hmm. title. So you can't be mad at him. But I think what has happened with him is he reached a level to where the fan base expects national titles like what's happening at Alabama. Mm-hmm. And like I told you before, that 14-year run that Florida State had back in the day where they finished out nowhere below 5 for 14 years
right.
under Bobby was a run that weighs heavily in that program. And it kind of makes this program think they should be there every year because that's what they had for years. And he hadn't been able to get over the hump consistently, you know, and then this year is being just the disaster that it was. How can you – he was the toast of the town, won a national championship, had Jameson, had the program rolling.
Had a Heisman Trophy.
And then because he has this train wreck of a year, he gets crucified about it. So, yeah, he's like, well, I can go somewhere else.
Right, yeah.
And be the toast of the town again.
Once again, the fan base.
And that's the thing. The fan base expectations at all of these schools, we can go down the line. We just named several. The fan bases, and I don't know where we're going next, but I want to go to Tennessee. It is ridiculous that Tennessee allow a fan base to dictate what they're doing with the front office or the coaches, so to speak. Because I believe Tennessee made the mistake by having the John Gruden rumors come out. Because once the Tennessee fan base heard the John Gruden rumors, they were like, oh, we should have a coach in the caliber of a John Gruden. So once it went to Greg Schiano, they – and I don't agree with the Greg Schiano hire either because I really do believe that was Butch Jones 2.0 because right. they're the same person.
Yeah,
right.
And I think we're giving the fan base a lot of credit, but we also got to think about the people with those checkbooks.
John Kerr. I gave him my buster earlier a couple episodes ago.
Those are the people that make the decisions. Yeah, they hear all that, but they're the ones that they could have said, okay, nothing about what you said. This is our guy. And yep. if they were 100% behind Schiano, mm-hmm. he would have got the job. And with the purse string,
the reasoning behind it is just asinine.
No, that was convenience,
and that was Twitter at its best.
Yeah, that was convenience.
I agree. Shout out to Bo Bell. Bo Bell watching on Facebook.
What's up, now, Bo Bell?
This episode is sponsored by Bo Bell Basketball.
There you go.
Continue to stay tuned. Stay tuned in, all kids ages 6 and up. Go to BobellBasketball.com. All right. I guess Sabrina is looking forward to this question. Are you okay with a 2-loss team in the 4?
Only Auburn. Only Auburn is – Auburn will be the only 2-loss team that I'm okay with getting in, okay. to be honest with you.
And I agree with that.
Yeah, because they've done the work.
Yeah, their resume is
stellar. It's unquestioned.
Once again,
yeah, so
we was ahead of the curve. Yeah. We talked about them beating – those two teams.
Yeah. And I think we're putting too much credence in those two wins because I believe what makes Auburn's what I think makes their resume stellar is they had a 4-point loss on the road to Clemson. At Clemson.
Yeah.
So with those two wins, and if you can say quote unquote a good loss, you don't get a better loss than that. Yeah. A 4-point win on the road at Clemson, even though it was early in the year and both teams are totally different right now, that still was a hard fought game that they should get credit for.
But when Clemson averaging over thirty points a game.
But exactly. When you beat teams that have that one out to the left of their name, two number one teams mm-hmm. in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I mean, and I understand they played them at home, and that is something that we must say. But they dominated Georgia, and their defensive line, as you stated, mm-hmm. shut Bama down as far as, well, Bama did shoot themselves in the foot a lot of time by not running the ball.
Yeah.
But their defensive line did go to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like I said, to me, the only team that I'm okay with being a 2-loss team to get in, to me, is Auburn. I don't think
if they beat Georgia.
Yeah, if they beat Georgia, that's what I mean by getting in there. If they don't beat Georgia, they're 3-loss.
Yeah, 3-loss team is out.
But I don't think Ohio State deserves to get in. Anytime you go to Iowa and get a 50-piece order.
31 points.
Iowa.
They lost by 30 twice in the season.
One thing I know, D-Will, Bama can go to Iowa right now And I guarantee you that Iowa won't do that to them.
Iowa might not score.
They won't do it.
Ain't no doubt.
Because Bama don't do that to teams, unranked teams like that.
They don't fall.
It don't happen like that.
And the thing is, I was watching, and I'm going to say his name correctly, Colin Cowherd. I was watching his show today, and I'm going to give him some props. Because you know he is a Ohio State hornblower.
Yes.
All right? He actually said today that Ohio State does not deserve to be in. All right? Wow. He said that. Wow. And he That's then, big, in the same breath, turned around and said that Alabama deserves to be in regardless of what happens over the weekend.
Yeah, that's big ups then, because he must be in the doghouse.
He
somebody.
Must be.
Because I don't know about
he been bumping for Ohio State all year.
We got two questions on Facebook. How does Alabama get in? I think Oklahoma has to lose, or Wisconsin.
I think it's just Wisconsin.
Just Wisconsin?
Yeah, if Wisconsin loses, I think they're in.
I think they put them at five, because if one drop, they easily go up.
Yeah, so I think they jump TCU, too, if TCU does beat Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I agree with you on that. But either one of those teams.
Well, let's set it like this. We all had the scenario, and we've heard this basically since Tuesday. If Ohio State wins the Big Ten, and which Wisconsin loses, does Ohio State get in at four, or do you take Alabama, who didn't even get to the conference championship? That's the big talk.
Here's the thing. Ohio State, the only thing they have to hang their hat on is what they argued against last year. Okay? They didn't win the conference tournament championship last year, and they still thought they deserved to be in, and actually got in over Penn State, who was the Big Ten champion. So this year is what they're stomping against for Alabama. So if they do happen to win the Big Ten, okay, and they win the Big Ten, and they go on, and they're a two-loss Big Ten champion, I still believe if either Oklahoma or Ohio State loses, they're in. And the reason I say that is if you see the way the committee set up their top six, they put Oklahoma at three. So it's not like they put Oklahoma at one.
Right.
So Bama would be hard pressed to say we're going to jump Bama from five or drop Oklahoma from one behind Bama.
Exactly.
So they set it up, and then they put Ohio State down at eight.
Yeah.
And then they put Wisconsin at four. Mm-hmm. So that means they don't trust Wisconsin a lot. And that means that Ohio State's too far down to jump a team that we don't believe in anyway. So they're not going to give Ohio State a lot of props for that win if they happen to beat Wisconsin. But if one of those two teams don't lose, they're not in. Now, before you go to G, that Miami. The committee showed that they're not trusting Miami either.
At seven, yeah.
You can go back when the playoff rankings first came out. They had Miami at nine, and they were undefeated for a couple of weeks in a row.
Until they beat
Notre Dame.
I think if they beat Clemson in the ACC game, they're in.
I
think
two
conferences, I think their winner automatically gets in. I think that's the SEC and the ACC. The Big Ten is in trouble to me if Ohio State beats Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think the Big 12 is in trouble, too, if TCU beats Oklahoma. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm telling you, the bottom is going to fall out. I know one thing about it. Bama, if both of them lose, Bama moves up to third.
Right.
And then do you take a two-loss Clemson? Do you take a two-loss Ohio State?
Or a two-loss TCU?
Do you take a two-loss TCU? See, it's going to be crazy that way.
I think
we don't even talk about, and I'm telling you, be careful.
Penn State?
No, USC and Stanford.
Oh, yeah.
Because if all of it breaks loose, that brings them back in the picture.
Yeah, because they got USC at 10 and at a two-loss
That's what team. I'm telling
you. All right, G, what you had?
All right, so I think for the, if any of the top four, if any of them lose, they're out. Any of the top four. Mm. And if you're going to bring up, if Alabama's at five, I think they need Georgia to win, and they need at least one other top four team to lose. And that means you're leaving out, some conference is going to be left out. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to be left That's out real. if you bring in if you put Bama in. And I think that would be Clemson. If Clemson loses, no one, the ACC is left
you
out.
You don't think Miami gets in as a one-loss team ACC champion?
No.
That's a bad loss to Pittsburgh.
And I've heard that too.
And the thing is,
you're going to put Clemson in with a bad loss.
True. If they beat Miami,
but they are
no different.
But they are already number
one. They are the number one team in the country.
Right. But they still, what I'm saying,
you're going to put Miami, there are seven. Eight, right? They're seven. Seven and jump them at least over Ohio State, over Alabama.
Well, Ohio State behind them.
Ohio State's at
behind
eight.
Them?
Yeah, they got Georgia.
Oh, Georgia's at six. Okay. Yeah. So put them over Georgia, over well, if Georgia,
Georgia
wins,
loses, they're out.
If Georgia loses, they're out.
Right.
But if Georgia wins, I think they're in.
They're in, and then that means.
I think if Ohio State wins,
Auburn
they're
falls
in.
Behind them. But remember now, Auburn falls behind them too if Georgia wins. Mm-hmm. So that moves Miami up. See, I'm telling you, if Miami wins the ACC, they're going to get the ACC champion and SEC champion. To me, I believe they're in. I don't think there's a problem.
And I kind of agree with that.
I don't think Miami's going to win the game.
Yeah,
anyway.
Well, yeah, that's a different scenario.
I don't see them getting
but
in.
If they beat the number one team in the nation in the championship game and they only have one loss, they're going
to
get in.
No, I don't tell you. I agree with you to an extent because I think something – now, we have to put in other scenarios.
Go
because
ahead.
If Miami wins and – that drops out Clemson.
Yeah,
the way they can leave them out is if Georgia beats Auburn,
mm-hmm.
Georgia moves in, and Bama moves in. I believe they will take Georgia and Bama over Miami.
But Miami will be in, so you have three in.
No, I'm sorry. If Clemson beats Miami.
Yeah, well, then Miami's out if Clemson. Yeah, yeah, that's what I said. The winner of that game is in.
Right.
I think the winner of the ACC and the winner of the SEC.
I think it's a way, and it was. I had the scenario in my head. I think it's a way that even if Miami wins, they can leave Miami out.
You can't leave out a 10.
Don't say you can't.
Not a one-loss ACC champion. It's not going to happen. Because they won games.
They don't put a lot of credence in the ACC this year. They're not getting a lot of
they
as a conference.
But they get more than the Pac-12 and the Big 12.
That's why I say I think SEC teams are getting in before them.
But even if they get in, you still got two slots. They're going to get in. You see what I'm saying? The ACC the SEC, they going to get their champion.
I think Miami needs help to get in. I don't think it's as simple as them winning.
They just win. They in. I'm telling you, listen to the national pundits. I'm telling you.
We don't care about them. We talking about us.
Right, but I'm just telling you because they making the choices. And they're going to give Miami. What was the big win Miami had 3 weeks ago? When
Notre Dame.
Okay.
They fell off, though.
They fell off, but at the time. That was a win that said, okay, we got to respect.
But obviously,
Miami.
Hold on. Obviously, they don't do at the time. Because if they did at the time, Bama would get more.
But here's
the thing. At the time, Bama would get more credit for the FSU, which they are getting punished for because
but they
FSU
kept
fell
them
off.
At number one, though. Remember what I'm saying? Alabama never dropped out of the top two or three positions.
Well,
they stayed up.
They didn't lose.
Exactly. So when you got a one-loss team that's playing for the conference championship, and you got other teams that are two-loss, and they're playing. Now, Auburn, to me, is the only caveat we got because they beat two number ones.
Team, yeah.
But they still have to win.
They
got to
win. But what I'm saying, if Auburn wins, okay, that's one slot gone. Then you got the ACC. If they beat Clemson, they go into that slot. That's two slots. If Wisconsin beats Ohio State, they're in. That's three. And in the Big 12,
if
Oklahoma wins,
they're in. And if they lose,
then we got problems.
Then
we'll
talk
about
Alabama.
But I'm telling you, to me, I don't think
that's the chaos right there.
Yeah, that is the chaos.
Oklahoma, the Big 12 holds the chaos because if TCU somehow beats Oklahoma,
exactly.
That's when we're going to have chaos.
Then it's
going
to be a problem.
Exactly. So this is what I would say. In the ACC, I would be surprised if neither one of them get in.
Right.
I would be surprised.
I just don't see
how. You know Clemson's in. Clemson's in because they put them at one.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't believe they're the number one team in the country.
Right.
That's just my opinion.
But what G's saying is you're saying because Miami is seven. What are they? Seven.
Number seven. Yeah.
Okay, so if they're seventh, so now let's go to the games that the people that are ahead of them. And the SEC, the winner of that game is going to
play
fall,
six.
Right. They're going to fall behind Miami if
that's
Miami
two and
wins,
six.
Right?
Yeah.
If Miami wins, the loser of the SEC goes behind.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, if.
And Georgia and whoever wins go up.
Right. So, and
so
then,
those two slots move.
Right. So, okay, now we're talking about the.
Four and eight
teams.
The Big Ten
game. If Ohio State wins, Wisconsin and Ohio State will be behind Miami. Right? Because Miami's already ahead of Ohio State.
Yep.
But that can. That can change.
Not if Miami wins. How is Ohio State?
Like,
you think Ohio State gonna jump Miami?
Some, like, we've seen that happen before with the very first playoff.
Not if they beat the number one team, though, G. The very first playoff, TCU dropped because they didn't have a championship game. Remember, they beat the heck out of Baylor or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And
Ohio
then didn't
State,
get to go.
Well, yeah,
and they
Ohio
put
State
Ohio State above
jumped
them.
Baylor and TCU.
Right.
They were at, like,
with
six.
No championship game. Right. Remember, we talked about they had no championship game, and they jumped them. I agree with that one.
But that was because they didn't have a champion. Now they got a championship game.
And the thing about it is, Miami's, they have everything we've heard about Miami, we still haven't heard, well, they got a weak schedule. That has never been the case. They've never said that their schedule doesn't add up like they do Wisconsin. You see what I'm saying? So you can't use that argument.
They use it in the first initial playoff rankings.
But when
they
you
did.
Go and look at what they've done,
but
they beat teams.
They gave Notre Dame.
But you can look at it like this. They put Clemson at one and Miami at seven to give them a better win. Not necessarily to say.
You remember I said that a couple episodes ago. I have an issue with that because I think they rank these teams according to the matchups
right.
that's coming up.
Exactly. Right, and they put a failsafe in by dropping Ohio State so far back.
Yeah.
Let's get to this question. They say, do we think, shout out to Tony Davis, do we think UCF, if they win, should even be considered?
They're not going to happen.
Listen,
they're not
consideration?
Allowed.
Not allowed.
Not allowed.
Consideration, yes. Are they going to get in? No.
No.
Okay, because look who they're playing.
This is when you need that expanded playoff I was telling you about.
But we haven't won this weekend. We having playoffs this weekend.
Yeah, but we need that expanded playoff.
Listen, I agree with you. This is the playoff.
But it can't be for UCF.
Hey, no, it can't be.
That's listen, what I'm saying.
And that's the only caveat.
But I'm going to devil advocate his point.
What I was saying is this would be their chance to get into the eight.
Devil advocate your point, though. Do you think UCF deserves to be in, regardless? See, here's my thing. Why would we extend the playoff to put a UCF in if we don't think they should be there anyway?
But then you shouldn't be ranking them then. They shouldn't be ranked. They shouldn't be playing.
No. It's not. They should be ranked because they deserve it. They just don't deserve to be in the four.
Well, let me
I
just
understand that, D.
Let me just say,
we got a top 10. They are a top 10 team. They're not a top 4 team. That's a difference.
But we don't
know what they can do because they don't even get a chance.
Well, let's do
they
it.
They need to play somebody in the regular season.
Let's do it like this.
Houston did before, and they still would have had a hard time.
And they lost at the end of the year, right?
And they would have had a hard time.
And they lost.
D, this is ridiculous, man. How can you tell a team that you can play, and we consider you a team that can be ranked, but you can't. Really
but they
get
know
it.
That. No. But they know that.
You're not saying what you're trying to say. It's about the top four. The top 10 don't matter. We can rank these teams and say, okay, these are the top 10, but only four teams matter. So UCF.
So they
is
can't
not
be
top,
ranked higher than four
because they don't deserve to be Hancock.
This is the thing. This is the thing,
man. I think it needs to go.
UCF. UCF, Memphis, South Florida, Houston, they already know before the season
that they don't have a snowball chance in here.
So the only thing they need to do, move to a bigger conference.
Thank you. Play somebody.
Adjust the schedule.
You just can't say, okay, I'm going up to a big conference.
Play some Power 5.
Well, I understand, but I'm just saying.
The thing is that if you don't, if what they need to do is pull out and just do their own division so they can have their own champion. Because this ain't going to work.
Man, if they schedule Alabama in the preseason, in the early games, or schedule an LSU, or schedule a top conference team,
so that makes it fair, right?
If they win that game, now they have an argument at the end of the year.
But everybody else can lose a game to Alabama or something and still have a chance.
But look at the other strength of schedule, Hancock. That's what we're talking about.
We're talking about Wisconsin and Iowa and all them. Don't play nobody. They ain't doing nothing.
They're in the Big Ten. They still play a Big Ten schedule.
But the Big Ten teams, UCF can go to Big Ten right now and finish fourth or fifth.
But they need to do that.
They just can't say it. We're going
to
Bogart into it. They can't
gotta
do
pay
that.
Somebody,
in order
man.
For UCF to even one of them out of the next group, something has to just drastically happen into the other
I just don't agree with expanding.
Hold
on.
Problem to go to include all five conferences.
I agree.
Two wild cards and one at large group of five.
I think
teams.
Because the reason I have a problem with that hand is you're trying to reward a team that you don't believe deserves to be there anyway.
You don't believe UCF deserves to be there?
I don't believe Wisconsin deserves to be that, OD.
How?
Because they don't. They can't, to me.
If they beat Ohio State on Saturday, you don't think
that? If they beat.
So, but they're playing the game. UCF is not playing the game.
UCF don't get a chance to.
That's my point. Listen to me now. That's my point.
I hear you, D, and you ain't hearing me. To me, this is bogus. Why you got a team and you're ranking them if they – it makes no sense.
I'm not understanding
your
argument.
It's like believing in Santa Claus. It ain't real.
But this is it.
It ain't real. That's all I'm saying. Why would you even vote for them? Why are they getting votes?
But this is the thing. Again,
why? That don't make no sense, Han. I'm sorry.
That don't make sense. It don't make no sense that they even ranked. But they can't get there.
What? How many teams matter? How many teams matter?
At the end of the day,
four teams matter.
They know they ain't going to get in.
When the season starts.
They know they ain't going
to get in. Okay, listen to this.
When the season starts.
Here's my point. If they schedule LSU and beat LSU in the beginning of the season, now they can't say at the end of the year, we deserve to be in. But if you hadn't played nobody, you don't deserve it.
It doesn't even have to be an LSU. It can just schedule a team or two from a Power 5 conference.
That's my point. I was just using LSU as an example. You got to play somebody, and then you have an argument. My point is, your argument against Wisconsin is they have a weak schedule, but they have to play Ohio State.
The thing about it is this, and we got to move on, that the conference basically determines who gets in. They want to use the Power 5 conference. So anything outside of that, they ain't going to get in.
If they play the Power 5 conferences, they will get in. If they play and beat the Power 5 conferences, they will get in.
They have a better chance.
That's all my point is.
Yeah. All right, so
I don't agree.
The most intriguing game of the weekend, your opinion?
It's got to be, to me, the game that's going to hold the real power is the Big Ten game. That's the game that's going to have more influence on where everything shakes out. Because if Ohio State beats them, it's going to be problems all along the line. I think, to me, that's the game that holds the most. Second would be the Big 12, because it could have chaos too. But the biggest chaos to me is the Ohio State game, because I think it could lead the Big 10 looking for a place in the.
What about you, D?
And I'm biased, so to me, the biggest game is Ohio State, because I believe that holds the cards for Alabama. Well, that's their easiest road to get in, is that Big 10 champion. If Ohio State beats Wisconsin, Alabama's automatically in. And that's what I believe. So my biggest game, even though I'm more intrigued to see the SEC championship game, because that's a rematch.
Right.
It's two of the best teams.
I do want to see it.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's going
to
be the better game.
I agree.
The better game. But I believe, just from my biased opinion, the most intriguing is Ohio State.
Good point.
I think that the Clemson-Miami game and the Oklahoma-TCU game, because I want to know why Oklahoma wasn't ranked one and Clemson was. And Miami was ranked 7 because Oklahoma has the better schedule, the better resume. They beat teams. Clemson only has Auburn, pretty much, that's in the top 10. The Miami thing, how far do they move up? And how far does Clemson drop? Because my thing is now, even if Clemson loses, Oklahoma loses and Wisconsin loses, now you got to pick between Clemson and Alabama now. Because they both got 2 losses.
Alabama only got 1.
Clemson will have 2 losses. Alabama will have 1, but not even go to the championship game. So now you got to choose between that. And now does Clemson fall behind number 5 Alabama?
I think Clemson drops. They'll be a 2-loss team with a loss to Syracuse.
I agree with you, but why are they at 1?
Because
thank you.
That's my hope.
Because it's the leg up for
Miami. It gives the ACC
is something to watch for.
Who should have been number 1 then?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma should have been number 1 team in the nation.
Yeah, Oklahoma. I mean,
that's easy. Yeah.
Well, do you think Auburn should be number 2?
I think so.
Do you think they deserve to be number 2?
I'm going
to
tell you.
No lower than 3 for sure.
Exactly. But I don't think the Auburn-Georgia game has any bearing on the playoff.
Yeah, I think because that team.
They ain't anyway. Exactly. It has no bearing.
But I'm telling you, the two, both of those conferences to me, because like I said, they put Clemson up here. If Miami beats them. They going to jump
these people. They foreshadow.
Yeah, they going to jump them. They going to jump. They're going to jump either. They're going to jump the loser of the SEC game. Mm-hmm. You already know that. They're going to jump the loser of the Big 10 game. Mm-hmm. And they already ahead of Ohio State in the Big Ten. Yeah, so they would jump Wisconsin. Okay, and in the Big 12, they would jump TCU. Are they already ahead of them? So TCU, that's what I'm saying. How can they not be? They're going to be up there. Yeah, if they win, they're in.
All right, so with that being said.
That'd be hard fought to leave Miami out.
Yeah. Your predictions for the four.
For the four, I think Clemson does beat Miami. I just don't think that Miami's ready yet. I think they're ahead of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a quarterback to beat at Clemson. In the Big Ten game, I really think Ohio State is going to beat Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched Wisconsin play, and they have surprised me by winning the games the way they've won down the stretch. But I just think the athletes that Ohio State has and Urban Meyer is going to find a way to win that game, I do believe. Looking at the ACC, oh, we already talked about the Pac-12. I don't know about that one because I don't know. Stanford, to me, I thought they were dead, but they've looked better lately. For some reason, they found a quarterback that can throw the ball down the field, and they had Love in the backfield. So I think they can play with USC. In that game, I would still lean USC because I think they have the better athletes. So I would go there, and then the Big 12, I think Oklahoma beats TCU.
Who do you think is in the four? In the final four?
So those are the ones I'm saying. It would be Oklahoma. It would be
Clemson.
Clemson, Alabama, and I said Oklahoma,
Auburn,
Clemson,
and Georgia.
Alabama, and Georgia.
Georgia. All right.
Go ahead. I'll let you go.
All right, so my picks are the four. I'm going with Clemson. They're going to win. Georgia, I think they'll beat Auburn. Oklahoma, and because of I think Ohio State can beat Wisconsin, so that would help Alabama, so I'll put them in.
Okay.
And I got Clemson, Bama, because I agree, I think Wisconsin's going down, Oklahoma, and I scribbled this out three times. I scribbled it out three times because I just cannot make up my mind. Like, I really do believe Auburn's going to struggle outside of Bryant Denny. I just don't trust Georgia. For some reason, I'm not trusting Georgia. They looked really bad against Auburn. And like I say, it wasn't Jordan Hare. But something about Jake Fromm, I just don't trust against that front four of Auburn. So I'm going to put Auburn in there.
Okay.
And I got a rematch of Auburn and Bama in the national championship.
Anybody Facebook Live got some? I got one. Tony Davis got Clemson, Georgia, Oklahoma, Alabama. And I'm with Tony. I think Clemson, Georgia gets in, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin lose. Bama slides up. You got Alabama, Clemson playing in that first weekend with 1-4 with Georgia and Oklahoma. Yeah.
And that's another reason they put Clemson at number one because they want that. They don't want them to meet in the
exactly.
end.
Exactly.
They'd rather have
that'd be
them
three in a row. They don't
exactly.
want that.
Exactly. So Bama moves to four. Clemson stays at one. So you have the Clemson Bama game.
I just don't agree with the committee at all. You see how they're doing stuff? We're calling them out on all their setups.
Yeah, exactly. So exactly.
They double talk all about it. So
Herbie Holcutt. Yeah, that's
pretty bad. So. That's interesting. That's interesting. To be honest, I'm hoping for a chaotic weekend.
I would love to see TCU beat Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I would love to see Ohio State beat Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And then, because to me, the bottom is going to drop out then.
I agree. And that'll be crazy because I think at that point you got to pick between a Pac-12 team. And then Ohio State back into the fray. Yeah,
so. Or a non-conference winning SEC Bama.
Well, they'd be in if Wisconsin
lose. I think they are.
If Oklahoma loses.
We talking about if Oklahoma lose.
If Oklahoma somebody and Wisconsin lose, it's chaos.
Oh, yeah, it's chaos. So, all right, man.
They're not losing, though.
Yeah. That'll do it for our roundtable discussion.
That was beautiful.
That was hot. And heavy, you know what I'm saying?
Everybody on my live need to go tag somebody and say, y'all need to listen to this.
Exactly, man. Shout out to Bo Bell, man, for sponsoring this segment.
Bo Bell.
You already know it's going to be hot and heavy this weekend, man. So I'm going to be all into it. But we got to get up out of here. As you already know, man, it's a great day. Shout out to all the Facebook Live. Shout out to, I see you, Patrick, Tony. Tony said, boy, y'all got some great debates with sports passion. That's what I'm talking about. I appreciate that, Tony. Appreciate all the Facebook Live onlookers. Shout out to all of our loyal listeners. Shout out to the crew for doing the thing. But y'all came in here hot in heaven, and boy, I'm telling you, we got some folks scratching their head like, you know what? I think they got a point, you know? So shout out, man, and we do it each and every week, man. You know how we do it. All right, hand, real quick.
Shout out to my sister again. Happy birthday, baby. Love you. All the people that follow me on Facebook, appreciate it. Tune again next week.
Shout out to my mom and dad, and we're doing a bythetimeyouhearthis.com live tomorrow. Check out our Facebook page.
Hey, shout out to the wifey. Happy birthday to my pops. Happy birthday to my sister-in-law. Happy birthday to my homeboy, Urshan the Lions, man.
You already know, man. This is Sports Roundtable. If you don't like it, you better learn to love it because it's the best thing going today. All right, Han, let's roll.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
They call me coach because I teach you how to ball.
This is main man, 8-0 from Bankhead. R.I.P. Moms, R.I.P. BC. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't.
If he's shooting, stand in front of him because he won't hit you. Lonzo Ball don't shoot straight.
And we out. Peace. Shots fired. Ha ha ha!